Welcome to another episode of Gay Erotica by Liam Williams. Something a little bit different this month. Recently on the Proud Betas podcast, I interviewed Winwood H. Oliver, author of the hilarious memoir Homo Work. He is a proud and committed and compulsive beta, and he's sharing a chapter of the memoir on the podcast today, all about his life as a popper beta. If you enjoy this chapter and enjoy Winwood's work, then there's a link to buy the book in the episode description. It's a great book, an hilarious memoir, and if you want more information about the book as well, you can listen to the episode on the Proud Betas podcast feed. But without any further ado, this is the Poppers chapter from Winwood H. Oliver's memoir, Homo Work.
My Life as a Chronic Compulsive Popper Baiter by Winwood H. Oliver from his memoir, Homo Work. Why poppers are my personal drug of choice is the same reason serious druggies poo-poo them. Poppers' effects are fleeting. Originally little glass ampules of medical-grade amyl nitrate, they'd be broken, or popped, and placed under the noses of people with angina. Industrious homosexuals spotted how a sudden surge of blood could open a hole and enhance an orgasm, so they used them during sex. Soon, poppers were manufactured in small brown bottles with names like Rush, Bolt, and Locker Room, and sold at adult bookstores and in discos. Once during my clubbing days, I happened to be dancing next to a tipsy queen who accidentally dropped her bottle of poppers after taking a large sniff. At precisely the same moment, another queen nearby unwittingly threw her smoldering cigarette stub onto the floor. Instantly, the dance floor erupted into a blast of flames. False eyelashes were singed, tambourines were tossed, and there was a Who concert stampede for the exit that left many a diva lying wigless and trampled on the floor. Like most of my current fetishes, I was initially disinterested in poppers. Back in 1985, when Jesus unveiled a bottle during sex, I declined to participate but said I didn't mind if he partook. Yet with every whiff, he appeared more removed from the experience. Days later, when I trepidatiously worked my concern into an unrelated conversation, Jesus attempted to explain that the poppers made him even more into me. But my persistent sense of inadequacy told me differently. Jesus's continued sexual pauses to locate the bottle that had rolled under the sheets, bring his head upright, unscrew the cap with his teeth, plug one nostril, and slowly sniff through the other became a problem I brooded over for months. Popper's pungent aroma was the one thing I'd loathed about the bathhouses, and I vowed I wouldn't let that dumb drug pollute the amazing sex I was enjoying with my first boyfriend. I finally got up the nerve to tell Jesus I outright hated him using poppers, and he readily agreed to stop sniffing them when we were making love. What a guy! Several months later, I found myself alone in his West Hollywood apartment. Jesus always had a stack of porno magazines next to his bed. I also knew a petite bottle of Manscent or Quicksilver was stashed somewhere close. My curiosity got the best of me, and I took a quick sniff in the middle of jacking off in Jesus's perpetually unmade bed. I was a tad let down when I felt no effect. Then, in the same moment, an orgasmic wave of heat and hyperventilating caused me to uncommonly squirt six milky white ropes, draping me in a breathtaking cum serape. Poppers have led me by the nose ever since. I never told Jesus of my conversion. I'm not sure why I hide my erotic urges from my long-term lovers, but it's a pattern with me. I surreptitiously snorted poppers exclusively with those phone sex partners who happened to share my olfactory obsession. 12 years after my aroma about face, I met a gangster and popper aficionado on the chat line who went by the name Blackjack. He suggested that, for added intensity, I dab some poppers onto a tissue and inhale it through my mouth, like the homeboys huff glue out of a paper bag. I'm about to get lit like a loser cholo huffing chemo in the alley? I scramble to the bathroom to grab a Kleenex to try out my new ghetto technique with BJ as my popper coach. It hit me like a fit of vapors, and I was ravenous for more. This tissue trick led me to pouring poppers onto a dirty sock, putting it into my mouth, and inhaling constantly so I could sustain and build on my high. I'd tried ethyl chloride sprayed onto a t-shirt once at the Meat Rack Sex Club, but found it nothing like Vivian Vance. Yet I was soon wolfing poppers like Lucy stuffed bonbons into her mouth at the candy factory. My phone sex persona, Carlos, convinced me undies would be hotter to huff. And like my alter ego, I've stealthily stolen a small collection of undergarments consisting of the used men's drawers belonging to the family and friends I consider sexy as fuck. These straight slobs will never miss them, and it serves them right for driving me nuts with their effortless and stinky manly swagger. I've also discovered online hypno-baiter porn that I can fixate upon when the phone sex lines don't provide the exact stimuli I crave. To enhance this lobotomizing experience, the filmmakers suggest the donning of headphones to block out aural distractions. This way, I can completely focus upon the groans and incessant baiter babble of the video's nasty narrator, who's falling deeper and deeper into the bait hole and encouraging me to join him. It's also recommended to bait in a blackened room so my computer screen's blue light can penetrate all the way down to my retina, and I'll never get to sleep. I love staring at an ever-spinning spiral superimposed with a constant stream of one-second clips of hot, freaky guys that's also overlaid with a barrage of boldly lettered dictums, such as, "Baiting is natural. Nothing is more important than baiting. Baiting rules my life. Submit to the pleasure. I feel safe when I bait. Slow down. Don't come. Baiting makes me complete." I know, this all sounds dumb, but that's the point. Equipped with my baiting lodestar, the tiny nub in the middle of the cordless phone's number 5 key, I can Helen Keller my way across the keypad while lounging in complete darkness. Even the monotony and frequent futility of hour after hour lying on the basement floor of my masturbatorium with the telephone pressed against my cauliflower ear, hoping against hope the next profile will finally describe my ideal baiter bro. Someone who's into everything Carlos is into, or, equally as potent, someone who isn't into those things at all, but gets into Carlos getting into them. Even this waste of time is comforting and a respite from the shroud of racing thoughts and incessant worries obscuring my mind and wearing me down. So baiting for me is a means of release and abandon within a life consumed by calculations, control, and conservatorship. When I hear folks chant, "Get out of your comfort zone," I want to cry out, "Why would I do that? My comfort zone is comfortable. I spent a long time creating my comfort zone. Why would I ever stray from it?" Even while huffing and puffing like the little Onan that could and extending my popper high indefinitely, the moment I pull the panties out of my mouth after coming, The buzz is over. That's what I love about poppers. I don't need to wait hours to gradually come down or sober up. I don't go through withdrawals to reset or re-enter reality. In an instant, I'm back to being Mr. Oliver, the beloved community college teacher. But with an almost regrettable, profound popper headache that lingers for the rest of the day or into the next morn. Here's the problem with fetishes. They often become fixations that are extremely hard to fulfill. The things turning Carlos on are so specific and out there, it's difficult for him, well, for me, to readily find a perfect match. My life would be a lot freer if I could pop in a porn, get off on any old sex scene, and get on with real life. Yet I'm always looking for the e-ticket experience. Today, can't you do the 6-minute self-guided tour of Sleeping Beauty's castle? Why must it always be a protracted visit to the enchanted tiki room for you, Wynn? I'll tell you why. Because if you're not willing to go full out with your fetishes, why bother? As one of my favorite phone bone baiter bros spurs me on, get weird, Carlos. Get weird.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Gay Erotica by Liam Williams. Thank you, Winwood, for your contribution to the podcast. If you'd like to read more of the memoir and purchase your own copy, then you can follow the link in the episode description to buy a copy of Homo Work. If you're an author who'd like your work featured on the podcast, then get in touch with me. You can go to liamwilliams.com.au/contact or email me directly, liam@liamwilliams.com.au. I'm keen to share more and more authors' work with the audience of listeners that I have for the podcast, and more people are enjoying the stories and wanting more and more authors to listen to. Thanks to the supporters of the podcast. If you'd like to lend your support financially, then click the link for support in the episode description. Or if you would like to support in another way, then make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share your favorite episode with a friend. Thanks again for listening.